Changing minds one thought at a time. Greetings, 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 everyone, and welcome to Motivate Social Podcast, where we bring you people who are changing the world via social media. And we have an exciting, exciting show for you tonight. But before we get into all that, I have to introduce my co-hostess with the mostest, Vanessa Canterbury. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, fine, fine. Are you ready for this interview today?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Can't wait.
All right, me either, you know, because these people need to get ready for this goodness, right?
Totally agree. They're not ready. They're not ready, but they need to be ready.
Well, without further ado, on that note, we need to bring on Tressa Simmons. How you doing, Tressa?
I am well. How are you, ladies?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So just how we're going to start off with the question of the hour. Why did you decide to be part of the Empowerpreneurs Anthology Project?
You know, I have a story to tell, and I felt like it is time to tell that story. My background and everything, I just knew it just was time. It was definitely time to tell the story where I walked, I felt like in fire, and came out on the other side. And I just wanted women to understand that it's possible to get to the other side of happy, to live in a space of joy, and to love the life that they live, and more importantly, to love themselves.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I'm glad that you took that leap of faith to be able to start sharing your story, because so many people just don't share their story because they feel that it's nobody's business, nobody will understand, what have you. But you took that leap and you said, you know what, it's time, and I'm glad that you did. Now, what got you to the place to get to where you are now to say, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to be able to share my story unapologetically.
I feel like I've always been on some form of spiritual journey, but about 2-3 years ago, I took a rites of passage class or process. I really would call it a process. And it was at that moment that I realized I was addicted to the pain that I had been living in, and I had just become addicted to it. And as I went through that process, I knew that I had changed. I was clear about that, but about a year later, I still was struggling. And what I began to understand about that was that I basically had committed in that moment, but really there was still work to be done. And so that started me on my journey. Another thing was I had a mentor who would always say, the story that we tell, we get to live. And when I really began to grasp the truth of that, I began to rewrite my story. And so being a part of the Empowerpreneur Project, or this book, has really been not only healing for me, but I pray healing for the other women, because it is truly possible to rewrite our story to tell a different narrative.
Very good, very good. You know, a lot of times people think that they're stuck with what they have been given or what had been thrown their way, but you're saying that no, you can rewrite all the things. You know, you can rewrite it and make it the way you need it to be. And so I assume that you work with this type of person that needs to rewrite that story or rewrite that narrative. So what would you say to them when they came to you? Oh, Miss Tressa, this is not working. I can't do nothing with it. It's nothing that I can do. What would you say to them?
Well, one of the things I would tell them, that first I would always remind them, because this was one of the biggest aha's for me, is this is the process. This is your life. This is the only life you get. And this is the process. And the very thing that you believe is possible is really, you know, the story you tell is what you really get to live. It's just that simple. And I would begin to ask them, is it true? You know, who told them that? I would begin to ask, have them inquire, you know, within themselves, where did this come from? And begin to let them begin to think, is that really true? Is it really that? Or is that what you believe and think that it is? Is there another option? Sometimes we don't think there's other options. You know, sometimes if you could just get somebody to see that there may be another option, it begins to open up that door just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit more. And they begin to see that there maybe there is another option. And I'm here to say there's always another option. There's always another option because, you know, we are here and whatever we truly believe gets to be what we experience. So why not just choose something different? I'm not saying it's easy. It wasn't. It really wasn't always an easy journey, but I'm telling you, it is the woman I am today. I love her. I love her in a way. Sometimes I just look and I laugh and I get giggly and I'm like, who are you? It's like I get to meet somebody every day different. And that person is myself. I get to explore her in a way I never did. And so if I could offer anybody anything, is begin to question everything and do some digging, do some exploring.
It's like a deep dive search within.
A deep dive search within, yes, ma'am.
So that little girl, Tressa, mm-hmm. Now you have found yourself, you have seen that you are more than what you ever expected. You know yourself now, you know your worth, you value your worth, you appreciate your worth, and you tell other people about theirs as well. But that little girl, what would you tell that little girl named Tressa?
I would tell her I love her. And I would always remind her we're in this together. But one of the most important things I tell her is thank you. Because she was there, you know, going through with me for one, but she was there trying to speak up when I didn't feel like I was capable. And she never left me. And so I'm here to let her know that I won't ever leave her. And that definitely, you know, and I'm also listening to her more. So that's why I'm called the pleasure coach, because I want, you know, every woman to know that you can live in a state of pleasure. All of it is not about sexual, but your life can be filled with pleasure. It can be an orgasmic life, a life that you choose and you begin to define for yourself. And that's one of the things, you know, for me, I had no idea what it was I liked, didn't like, who I was, but I just didn't like myself. But I couldn't tell you what really brought me joy. You know, and I often say happiness, and my book is titled is Getting to the Other Side of Happy, because happiness is things that's often outside of us that, you know, if we connect with them, oh, well, they make us happy. And then if we don't like them, maybe they won't make us happy. But when you start living in a state of joy, you've gotten past and you understand you're not motivated by the things that's outside of you, but you're motivated by the things that's inside of you. And for me, you know, I'm finding what brings me pleasure. And the more I tap into what brings me pleasure, the more self-love that I find, because I am honoring that. I'm not betraying myself. I'm listening to myself. And I'm, like you said, starting to understand my value.
Wow, starting to understand your value. That is a great place to be, isn't it, Tressa? Wonderful place, huh?
Yes, it is. It's an amazing place to be.
And, you know, as you were writing your chapter and that was unfolding and you were seeing your journey from where you came from to where you are now, as you were flipping through the pages when you were expressing your feelings, you know, what do you say to a person who needs to release some things, right? And because I know that they can probably hear about that in your chapter. So what would you say to them? How would you give them some examples of how to release?
Well, I did a couple things. I found out that tears can be very healing. I journaled a lot. I wrote a lot. For me, I wrote poetry a lot. I also found other ways to support myself. For example, I started a book club a couple years ago. It lasted about 6 months. Now, the reason I started this book club is because I really wanted, I felt like I'm like 58 now, so this is probably about 53, 54, but I felt like I was older and had not gotten enough information, and I was looking for things. And I thought, oh, this would be so cool to have a group of women come together and we just work together and learn together. Well, it didn't last, it didn't work, but it didn't stop me. And I started finding ways that to give myself what I felt like I needed. And that's how some of the things came about that I'm doing now. And so that's what I did. I started digging and figuring out what it is that I love. So because I love to read, I start reading more. I start finding out what really worked for me or what didn't work for me. And I start honoring that. That was my way back. But that still was at times a struggle. You know, I love to blog. So when recently I blogged, it was my confusion and my chaos that saved my life. Because I'm aware that you have to go into the darkness. You have to go in, you have to tap in. And as you're going backwards and you're going inward, the very things that you covered up and you hid to go find the jewel that you are, you still have to pass through all of that. But the best thing about it is every time I keep going in and the farther I go in, I get to see the brighter, you know, I get to see myself. When I consider myself a jewel, I get to see a bigger brightness and I'm becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and I'm seeing more and more value. And so that would be some of the things that I would tell people to do. Find out what you love and be willing to be honest. Be willing to be honest, because it's going to take some honesty to really heal. And I also would like to tell women, I used to come from a place that they were broken. Something was wrong with them. Something was wrong with me. And I realized that's not true. Even when I journey inward, it's not journeying inward because something is wrong with me. I'm going inward so I can see this woman, this dynamic woman that I am. I'm going inward. So I'm like, who is she? More and more and more, I want to know her. I want to know who she is. And not from that place, something is wrong, but there's nothing wrong. I'm learning her in a way that I never knew her before.
Now, Tressa, this is me all day long. I deal with people who are too afraid to go within. They're too afraid because they're afraid of what they're going to see or what they're going to discover or what they got to deal with, what they got to face with. They are too afraid. And I'm often telling people that you will never be able to understand what's the possibilities if you don't deal with what's going on within. Where did the history come from? It just don't happen overnight. You got to this place for a reason. But in order for you to get to the other side, like the other side of happy, the other side of discovery, the other side of the best version of you, you have to be willing to go within and do the history work. That's so, so important. So what's one of the takeaways that you would want the reader to take away from your chapter of just understanding the importance of doing the work?
One of the most important things I would want the reader, because it took me a long time to figure this out, start for yourself. You know, it's not that we don't want to help and do things for other women and, you know, or even the planet. But I found that I had gotten to a place that I broke down one day and cried, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to help women. And I knew it wasn't that wasn't really true. But what was true, I was trying to go from a place of everybody else first. And you can only give anybody, women, men, or anybody, who you are and what you are. And when I began to say it's okay to just do what I do and be who I am for myself, the women will benefit from it. So does that mean I don't look out for them anymore? No, I love it. But here's the thing. I'm making sure that my focus is on me first. And where I thought that was selfish, I realized it's not selfish. I really cannot. And the more I began to do that for myself, the more I had, the more I become clear for myself, the more I can help and be transparent for other women. My story is really a powerful story. And I won't tell it all, but my first experience was with a man, was with my stepfather when I was about to turn 11. That was the first time when he touched me. And I went from a place of being in such a happy place to such a crazy place over a couple of years, because that wasn't the first man. After him, it was just like other men. So my point for saying all of that is I had to accept a lot of things about myself in terms of it didn't have anything to do with me. And in that sense that I had to help people be responsible for who they are. But what I took on was, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to save the world, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And there was nothing wrong with that. But I started from the wrong end. I started trying to take care of everybody before I really started to understand how to take care of myself, before I really understood how all this had affected me and the way I was living my life. I was trying to do everything from the wrong way, from the wrong space. And so for me, I would just tell everyone to make sure, and particularly women, that you go in and that your work starts with you. You know, you become your own mission. And after you become your mission and you begin to learn and become clear about what your mission is with yourself, then it helps you to really help someone else by just being who you are.
Now, that's a powerful takeaway. And, you know, usually when somebody has a takeaway that powerful, they usually want to go out there and share that with others. So how are you sharing that with others? How are you helping others receive their takeaways?
So one of the things was, after the book club didn't work out, it wasn't, everything has led me to one thing to another thing. So when the book club didn't work out, I started something on Facebook, a Facebook group called Conversations with a Sister. And then first it was called Community Conversations with a Meaningful Dialogue. But then I thought there was topics that we don't want everybody in. So I made it a closed group. And from there, Voices was born. And Voices stands for Voicing Our Integrity, Choices, and Expectations Successfully. It is a sacred sister group. We call it the womb, where we all come in and we learn. We have spiritual midwives, which are really teachers, male and female. They come in and help support us in our growth. Other things that I have done is I had Conversations with the Sister, Healing One Conversation at a Time. It was a social platform. We used Zoom, and we had conversations once or twice a month about different topics to help elevate women, including help elevate them in relationships in terms of their men. We had something one time, one of my most favorite programs that we had, was sexual abuse in our men and our boys. And we got a chance to literally have men who had experienced it, but also how they try to relate to their partners and how sometimes women look at them and why they don't feel comfortable. So we do things to try to help grow us as women, but also how to help us grow in the community and with our families. Other things that I've done or am doing, I have another book coming out. It should be out by the end of February, and it's called Naked, My Journey to Self-Acceptance. It is a poetry book. I'm in the process, hopefully by March the 14th, well, on March the 14th, I should say it this way, we have our first year anniversary for Voices. And then by May, hopefully if everything goes well, this is a baby right here that I feel like I've been carrying for 2 years. It's apparel line. It's called Conversations with the Sister, Naughty and Nice, and Poetry Apparel Line. And it will be dropping in May. So there's a lot of things. And I just also want to say that one of the most powerful things for me is, as I've taken my power back after being sexually abused, the things that I do is not to sensationalize sex, but to have a conversation where women will not talk about these topics, whether they've ever been sexually abused or not. Things where women were told, you know, in the past, whether you was in religion or not, and told you can't talk about it, be quiet, don't ask questions. My whole premise for what I do is really to help women to come out of their shells, to talk about whatever the conversation needs to be talked about, to heal, to walk, and to be comfortable as a woman. And so some of it does involve, you know, having conversations around sex. I also am a certified womb sauna practitioner doing the vaginal steamings. The way that we do it is we hold space, sacred space. One of my coworkers said she called it counseling on a pot. And so really that's kind of the feel of it. I also, in a couple of weeks, will be a certified yoni egg practitioner. I wanted to come from a space where I wasn't just selling a product, but selling a service, and teach women the power of another way to use their womb and have womb wellness and also the magic of the womb. So for me, I feel like every experience that has happened to me has been my greatest gift. Everything that has happened has just been such a gift for my life. I know that sounds crazy. I'm a woman that I have never, didn't even expect and know I could be. I love her. I enjoy my life and I definitely like myself and all the things that I'm doing, the freedom. I don't feel like I would have had that had not I've gone through all that I've gone through and came out on the other side. I mean, I could have probably been, you know, worse off or something could have happened. But for me right now, I'm just grateful that God loved me so much. I was protected.
Well, I'm excited for you and all the things that you're doing and all the things that you have coming up. I know the audience would love to know where they could be able to find you on social media so they could be able to stay connected with you. And so when the book drops, that they also could be able to get the copy of the book from you. So take a moment to let people know where they could be able to find you on social media.
So I am on Facebook right now. The Womb Space Healing Nature's Way is where I can be found on. And then also I have a website that is coming up. It should be ready in about another week or so. I am working on that now diligently. The Womb Goddess on Instagram is another place that they can find me. And my contact information in terms of my phone number is also on the Womb Space. It's in that, in the contact information.
Wonderful, Teresa. Thank you so much for being on here today. And for sharing all your wonderful gifts and wisdom. You know, we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, audience, please, please, please reach out to Teresa. Learn about all the things that she provides. And then when you read her chapter, reach out to her and let her know how it resonated with you and how... you know, how it touched you. That's always very important to the authors, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. And so I want to thank everybody today for listening to our lovely podcast. And if you want to hear more from us, you can definitely find us on Changing Minds Online on all social media handles. We're Change Minds Online without the E on Twitter, and everything else is Changing Minds Online. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Have a good one.